are listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook. And today, and for the next three programs as well, we've got David Leo joining us. I don't know why I've got David Maxwell written in my script here.
Because we look the same.
Got David Leo joining us here talking about, well, we're continuing our discussion on the sanctuary to some extent. But today our program is titled The Sanctuary Memory Pattern. Just want to remind you, our show number 0488880891. You can text us in, text your questions, claim the book offers. This is our daily program, and it's a shorter program, but you can still interact with us. We'd love to hear from you. 0488880891 is our show number here on Tassie Encounters. So David, topic of the sanctuary memory pattern.
I'm excited about this one.
Introduce us to this.
Well, I'll ask you, Jason, how's your memory? If you were to read something right now, how well could you recite it afterwards? You just read it once. You didn't try to.
I tend to remember concepts, but I don't remember specific details.
Yes. Well, the reason why I read this particular book called The Memory Code was back in college. I studied a subject called Greek.
Now, college is your university education.
Thanks, Jason. Yes, that's right. When I went to study to be a pastor, which was not too long. Well, yeah, it was 2014 I started. Mm-hmm. And friends had warned me about this language that I had to learn. It was called Greek. And it was very intimidating because it was very much like mathematics. And mathematics and I back in school, we weren't very good friends. We didn't get along very well. But
I'm okay with maths, but the other stuff, that's all Greek to me.
Yeah, and I tell you, so the languages, Greek and Hebrew, I basically got through it not through learning the patterns and the formulas and things like that. I did it by memory.
Right.
And I was trying to work out, man, I'm going to get my memory things happening. And the best things I've exercised in memory since I was a kid was mum and dad teaching me Bible verses. Mm-hmm. And then when I was around 22, I had intentionally taken on this class called Fast Class, where you try to memorize Bible scripture. And by the time I got to college, I felt like my memory was being shot. And I think it was, you know, after having children and things like that. But this book, this doctor, she talks about going to do some studies. She came to Australia. She hung around some of the indigenous aboriginals. I can't remember where, but they took her to different places and different spaces where she could do her studies. And she noticed that everywhere they went, even when they went on overnight walks and things like that, they didn't need any maps. They just tracked. And she was quite fascinated by this whole thing. She noticed too that when they got to certain places, they would do a song and a dance. There's a bit of storytelling and then they'll move on.
Mm.
And after that fascination, she asked the question, you know, what's that all about? Blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, every time we come to a particular place, you know, if it's a rock or something, we honor it because of what it has in our history. And so we sing songs, we tell stories, we mimic the animals that are, you know, that are there. And then they started telling stories of there are other tribes around that they cross paths with on their journeys, and they share their songs and their, so they learn about other spaces and other places that these other tribes are from.
Mm.
And then they're able to navigate, you know, just through ancient songs, dances, through talking about a particular stories. Landmark. You know, this is the rock, this is the waterfall, this is the blah, blah, blah. And
pollination.
Thank you. Cross-pollination of these stories, it really allows everyone else to navigate because they've heard from other tribes. And I found that fascinating. So she goes on to talk about this method that was used in ancient Greece called Loki. And never heard of this before. It had me Googling like crazy afterwards. And basically, in the Greek method of Loki, they had to remember, they had to memorize, the senates and things like that, the important people.
Mm-hmm.
They had to remember passages and prose speeches and things like that. And the way they did it is they started to go to particular buildings whether it be their home, or if it got more elaborate, they'll go to a particular educational building or a temple. And when they walk to the stairs, they associate the stairs with the introduction of their speech, you know. And it could be something like, you know, this is the greatest city of Athens that we've ever lived at. And as they enter the temple, the first two pillars are the next part of their speech. The left pillar says, I want to talk about the war that we just had. And the second pillar talks about we need to make adjustments, you know. And as they go into the temple, there's other furnishings that they look at. And, you know, and so each thing has a...
They're using their environment to consolidate and trigger those memories.
You've got it, right? So it'd be like us if we were to do shopping every day, right? Every week. And we said, oh, the bedroom door's the bread, you know, the kitchen, walking to the hallway. That's the milk, you know, in the kitchen. That's my oranges. And so what happens is every time you associate this tangible part of the building with whatever's in your memory, every time you travel, you know, every time you journey through there,
you're
reciting it, right? Yeah. You look at it, bread.
Yeah, that's it.
Oranges. Yeah. And then you know, within moments, it's part and parcel of who you are. You know, it's become...
They say that with remembering names of people as well, that when you get introduced to somebody, if you can find a connection somehow to something that you already know, you can then remember that person's name. And I'm terrible at remembering names, so I need to get better at that.
Wow, this is true. You know, Jason, as I say that, I don't think it happens very often, but I was really blessed that I stayed in the same house in the same area for my first 16 years of my life before I moved to Australia. I could tell you the streets, I could tell you the trees, I could tell you the interesting letterboxes that you walk, because I used to walk to school and back, you know, every day. And I know those paths very well, because the park, the local park, my friends' houses, they were things that I traversed frequently, you know. So it's part and parcel of who I am. And it's a real joy, like when I took my son there to show him, this is where I was at, you know. And so this becomes something that I want to talk about with the sanctuary. You know, when I went through this book, it dawned on me. I was like, wait a minute, there's a building that the Bible talks about, and we're meant to get familiar with it. And you know, every time we journey through, because I don't know about you, but I've never been to a fancy temple before. You went somewhere last year, didn't you?
Croatia. Yeah. We traveled to last year. We did actually go into some interesting buildings during that time, but I've never been to Greece or some of the other areas where you'd probably find more temples.
Yeah.
In India, I went, and Cambodia, I've been to some of the old temples and the monuments, I guess, that in Siem Reap. There's some Angkor Wat. I don't know if you've heard of that. But
I have, yes, definitely. My wife's Cambodian. She hasn't been to Cambodia herself.
Right.
So okay. She couldn't even tell me about the temple, but you can tell me about the temple, and I'm pretty sure it made an impression on you, you know, and I have to take your word for it, right? But what do we call that when we haven't been there, seen it, but we believe it? What's the word?
Faith.
Oh, yeah. Faith, right? So this is something that the Bible's been teaching us over and over again, right? To get familiar with the sanctuary. And you start to see the patterns throughout the Bible. And the more you get familiar with the ancient sanctuary, the more the Bible opens up. In fact, I'm pretty sure our listener has some interest in the book of Revelation. Right? In the book of Revelation, it actually talks about Jerusalem. Really weird. The dimensions of Jerusalem revealed in Revelation is a square. And those dimensions of a square, you go back to the sanctuary, guess which room is a perfect square?
Is it one of the holy places?
The most holy place.
The most holy place, right? Yeah.
So it takes you through this journey. You look at the Garden of Eden and you look, and you, if you're able to picture geography and go by, oh, okay, that's where this is the tree of life. Hey, wait a minute. This is the same pattern as the sanctuary. So the sanctuary really, like, the more we journey through the sanctuary, the more we're getting an understanding of what God's trying to tell us. Do we have time to go through Joshua 24 just to give us
maybe we've got about another minute.
How fast can you read that?
Which bit do you want to read?
Six to the bottom, please. Okay. 6 to 13.
So this is Joshua 24 from verse 6. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. And when they cried to the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and made the sea come upon them and cover them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt, and you lived in the wilderness a long time. Then I brought you to the land of the Amorites, who lived on the other side of the Jordan. They fought with you, and I gave them into your hand, and you took possession of their land, and I destroyed them before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and fought against Israel. And he sent and invited Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Indeed, he blessed you. So I delivered you out of his hand, and you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the leaders of Jericho fought against you, and also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, is that right?
Yes, that's right.
The Hivites and the Jebusites. And I gave them into your hand, and I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you. The two kings of the Amorites, it was not by your sword or by your bow. I gave you a land on which you had not labored and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. Yet you eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant.
Mm. Joshua just took them through a journey of where they came from and detailed it.
Mm.
And he's telling them, play this over and over and over in your head so you can appreciate where you are right now and to understand who you are as a people.
So you can remember it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We've got a bit of a question for you to consider this week. What benefits are there to regularly and repeatedly remembering and celebrating special events? We'd love to hear from you, so do text us in. We can share your messages on our Friday program.
This program is made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.
So today our book offer, or this week our book offer, is called Memorable Encounters. And it's a great book by Roberto Bedinas. It's I think a follow-on from Decisive Encounters. There is a first encounter, and the last one will come, but between both, we all have many more. Some of them change the course of life, but there is one that can make it attractive and everlasting. Now you can delight in learning through encounters of men and women who have had the decisive one. You can experience the same today. That's our book offer today, so do text us in, TEM04 to 0488880891 to claim that book offer. As we go out today, this is Mark Schultz with a song that actually refers to the sanctuary, and it's called Remember Me. Do join us again tomorrow, where we're going to have a little bit of a look at the feasts, which are all also about remembering things as well. May you encounter Jesus more today and every day.
Remember me in a Bible cracked and faded by the year. Remember me in a sanctuary filled with silent prayer.
God.
when the children leave their Sunday school with smiles. Remember me when they're old enough to teach.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.